This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. As you've probably heard repeated many times in the past week, New Hampshire has the distinction every 4 years of holding the nation's first-in-the-nation presidential primary. That primary gets plenty of attention from candidates and from the media. But winning in New Hampshire certainly doesn't mean that a candidate is destined for the party's nomination. In fact, the last three presidents finished second in the New Hampshire primary. So just how much does the contest matter? While visiting New Hampshire this weekend, I put that question to UNH political history professor Kirk Dorsey.
For those people who are paying attention to politics, they can see in Iowa and New Hampshire the testing ground. Can these politicians actually convince people face-to-face that they're viable presidential candidates, that they're not crazy or they're not inadequate, not up to the task?
Is there something that candidates can accomplish in New Hampshire that they couldn't do as easily if the first-in-the-nation primary happened in any other state?
Well, I would hesitate to say any other state because I think the main advantage that New Hampshire has, there are two main advantages. The first is that it's a small state, and so a candidate without a lot of money and without a large pool of name recognition coming into the campaign can, in fact, come into a state and over the course of a few months win enough attention and enough undecided voters to actually win a primary. Jimmy Carter in 1976 is a classic example of this, a person who was so unknown that in 1974 he was on the game show What's My Line, and nobody knew who he was as the governor of Georgia. And he came to New Hampshire for the 1976 campaign and convinced people that he was a plausible person to be president of the United States. And if they had been a large state like Ohio or Michigan or California, he never would have had the resources to prove that.
So if New Hampshire lets a relatively unknown, unfunded candidate really establish name recognition and get a lot of momentum, why is it that those candidates don't always go on to succeed in the rest of the country?
I think that New Hampshire is not the make-or-break state. People can certainly win New Hampshire and then blow it on Super Tuesday. We can see John McCain in 2000, who crushed George Bush in New Hampshire, but didn't have the network in place to run that national primary. So I think the way the system is set up right now is pretty good because you have to be able to win or at least be competitive in a couple of local campaigns where it really is important that you go out and meet people and shake hands and convince people in small groups and prove that you are, as one of my former grad students like to say, authentic.
If we go back to the larger issue of how much does New Hampshire matter in the big scheme of the election, it sounds like it clearly can help a relatively unknown, unfunded candidate get name recognition. It can help prove that a campaign is viable. But then when you factor it into all the rest of the primaries, how much difference does it make?
If for some reason New Hampshire were to lose its first-in-the-nation primary status to some other state, if it were a small state, I think within a couple of election cycles, that small state could certainly evolve the same network that New Hampshire currently has. But if it were a big state or some sort of regional conglomeration, I think it would just become an anointing of the front runner rather than a place where a relatively unknown candidate can become a national figure.
As you know, there are people who are critical of New Hampshire getting the first shot at who they think is the best nominee because they think the state isn't representative of the country. It's too white, it's too educated, it's too liberal in a way that the rest of the country may not always be, and so therefore they may put forward a nominee that the rest of the country disagrees with. Do you think it's fair to say that New Hampshire is not appropriately representative of the rest of the country?
I think right now, more than anything, Republicans are really looking to beat Barack Obama. So what they're looking for right now is who is best positioned to beat him. I think in that sense, New Hampshire Republicans speak for the Republican Party as a whole.
Do you think that New Hampshire now matters as much as it always has? Or do you think the primary matters a little less each 4 years?
It is perhaps true that media has changed so much since 1976 that that meeting in town halls thing that we cherish in New Hampshire actually isn't as important as we think it is. But I also think that there is still an opportunity here that is unique. The ability to remake yourself keeps New Hampshire pretty relevant.
Do you go to some of the events? Do you try to go to some of these small group gatherings with candidates?
Well, in 2004, we went to a bunch of them, and now we have two small kids, so the evening ones are just almost impossible to do. So when the kids are a little bit older and we can do this, I look forward to going back to these things because it was really enlightening. Long before anybody got a chance to vote, I was able to form real opinions about whether or not these people were plausible candidates.
Because you see them in a very unvarnished way that's hard for them to fake it if they have to be up there in front of a crowd for an hour or more.
Or in sometimes too varnished, right?
Yeah.
In some cases, it is literally, you can see that they are so packaged, that person's clearly not comfortable dealing with the questions and dealing with the audience. And you say, that's just never going to last over the course of a campaign. Or how's that person going to handle an actual crisis with Venezuela or Iran? Or, how's that person going to actually manage in a tight situation?
Kirk, thanks a lot for talking about this.
It's my pleasure.
Kirk Dorsey is an associate professor of history at the University of New Hampshire. He specializes in presidential history.